¿Al ser? To my show will know that I've been playing this track like crazy for a long time. And on Albert Lee, El Scruggs commented, "I've been a fan and admirer of his guitar work from the first moment I heard him play. I'm constantly amazed at his talent. I am sure there are many great players who have been influenced by his style and will continue to be influenced for years to come. Albert is, in every sense of the word, a genuine guitar wizard." Albert Lee, very, very, very warm welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Nice to be there, or here, anywhere.
Well, I tell you something, I've loved that song for so long, and so it's as much a pleasure just to be able to thank you for that particular song. It's absolutely lovely. And, you know, it was rather weird how I get into your music, because it was just one of the listeners one day said, "Have you heard of Albert Lee?" And gave me this CD to play, and from then on in, I've just loved your music. So we need to know a little bit more about you, and obviously I'd appreciate if you can tell us, first of all, the very beginnings. How did you get into the business?
Well, along with a lot of other people of my age, it was Lonnie Donegan that got me started, you know, got me interested in looking for a guitar and wanting to learn to play guitar, and then shortly after that, of course, you know, I heard all the 50s rock and roll, and you know, just progressed from there.
And of course, when you look at some of the credits on some of the albums or singles maybe from the 60s, it's easy to overlook who has actually been so competent at an early age, because you started very early in the business, really.
Oh, well, I did, yes. I was on the road in 1960, and I was 16 years old. I did my first tour, working for Larry Parnes, the big impresario at the time. He had a lot of rock singers on his list there, and we backed two or three of them, you know, doing little tours. You know, I did a couple of tours up in Scotland. A bass player and I were going through a little Selma True Voice amp, one 12-inch speaker, and nothing was mic'd up in those days, so you can imagine how good it sounded, but we were just so excited, you know, being on stage and doing this for a living.
And you had, your father, I think I read, was a musician, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah, he was, you know, not professionally, but, you know, he loved to play the piano and the accordion, so, you know, I've certainly... they were happy that I was making music. In fact, they had me take piano lessons when I was like 9 or 10, and you know, I got on quite well, but I didn't really practice as I should have done, like most kids, you know. I had to be forced to do it, but it was, you know, a year or so later when I borrowed a guitar from a school friend, and you know, things took off very quickly. You know, I learned to play very quickly.
Well, over the years that I've been making these types of interviews, I spoke not so long ago with Jet Harris, and I asked him about whether or not the school and the environment of the school gave him any sort of start at all in his guitar career. And, you know, it would appear that most guitarists never got this from school. Did you get anything from school and your music from anywhere like that?
Oh, not at all. No, it was just totally unacceptable at that time, you know. I had forgotten this, but a school friend of mine reminded me a little while back that I had a guitar at school, and one of the masters came by and saw me playing it and said, "Oh, you'll never get anywhere with that, Lee," you know. but I guess I proved him wrong.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I'm reading, and obviously every now and again I want to check things that people seem to put on the internet as fact, but did you enjoy playing the early Stax kind of music?
I did, yeah. I must say that during the 60s, I was really into country music, and I was buying Buck Owens and George Jones records, whatever I could get my hands on, you know, because a lot of stuff wasn't released in England at that time. But, you know, I was buying country records, but I was with Chris Farlow for most of the 60s and playing R&B, but, you know, certainly loving all that Stax stuff, you know.
Yeah,
it's very, very cool stuff, and I actually enjoy it more now when I listen to it with, you know, great nostalgia. You know, it was very cool stuff.
But I think what was confusing me a little bit was, of course, Chris Farlow, from what I remember, was basically, well, I suppose there is a bit of a connection, but certainly was not country, was he?
Oh no, not at all. No, he was really into R&B and blues.
So what do you think brought you this love of guitar, and in particular the speed of the, you know, the guitar that you play? What got you there, do you think?
Well, you know, there's so many influences from the early days, you know, from late 50s. I was listening to James Burton, who played with Ricky Nelson, and Cliff Gallup, who played with Gene Vincent, and Scotty Moore, of course, who played with Elvis. And then a little later on, I picked up on some of the really hot country players, like, of course, Chet Atkins. And my all-time favorite player, a guy named Jimmy Bryant, who played a Telecaster and a really hot jazz country, you know. So he was certainly a big influence. So, you know, my style, I like to think that my style is made up of a lot of my influences over the years.
I'm going to play a little bit of a track which is called Luxury Liner, because when people come into an interview maybe halfway through and wonder what we're actually talking about, just to give an idea of your guitar playing. I would love to be able to play my guitar like that. How did you get the speed quite to that sort of extent? How do you do it?
Well, you know, it came with practice, I guess. You know, I couldn't do that at the beginning. I was, you know, I had a pretty good technique in the early 60s, but, you know, the more you do it, the better it becomes, you know. So,
it's breathtaking. It's brilliant.
You know, I had these ideas in my head of what I wanted to do, and you know, I was able to eventually do most of them, you know.
Yeah. And when you got the offer to go across and work in America, what was it that tilted it in the favour of going out to the States?
Well, I guess this started in the early 60s when I met up with the Everly Brothers. And the guitar player that was with them at the time, his name's Don Peak, and we've actually been recently hooked up again after 30 years, and good friends. But at the time, this is like early 60s. We kind of played around a little bit in London. You know, I went up to a rehearsal of what Phil Everly was having, and you know, they heard me play, and Don said, Don Peak said, "Well, boy, you know, you're really good. You should go to the States. You do really, really well there." And I thought, well, you know, there are so many great guitar players there. You know, I don't know what chance I'd stand. You know, I was only 17 at the time, 17, 18.
Yeah.
But he said, "Oh no, you said, you know, you do really well. You know, they like good guitar players there." So throughout the 60s, I always wanted to be there because a lot of my heroes were in America, you know. I wasn't, and certainly throughout the 60s, I wasn't really into, you know, the English pop bands, you know, and, you know, the Jerry and the Pacemakers and Freddie and the Dreamers. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I was totally removed from all that kind of music, you know. I wanted to make American music. Mm-hmm. So it took me a while to get to the States, but I eventually came over in the early 70s with a band called Head, Hands and Feet.
And I used to play
the first place we went to was Los Angeles, and I thought, wow, this is fantastic. I love this, not only the weather, but this is the place for music for me, you know. And I immediately met up with a lot of my heroes and began to play with them, and I thought, well, you know, this is where I want to be. And, you know, after a couple of years of going back and forth to the UK, the band I was with, Head, Hands and Feet, broke up. And then I ended up with the Crickets, Buddy Holly's old band, the Crickets. And, of course, I was a huge Buddy Holly fan. And they were living in Los Angeles. And from there on, really, I began to spend more and more time here. And I've been living here ever since. I've been living in Los Angeles.
I have a contact that I speak with on the phone each week, and he's in Palm Springs. So there are certain things like the festivals that just had the last couple of weeks, which I keep in touch with through him, you know. I wanted to ask you about this reunion concert with the Everlys. Now, you are actually given the credit for getting them together again. Is this correct?
Well, no, it isn't, actually. I've read that a number of places, you know. I as I said, I met them in the early 60s and always wanted to play with them. And then when I ended up playing with the Crickets here in Los Angeles, I got to know Don Everly very well, and he and his brother had just split up. So I was working with Don, playing bars with him, and then we did a record, and I did a few fairly high-profile gigs with him where I was singing Phil's part. I was an Everly brother on a few gigs, you know. It was a little embarrassing, but there it is, you know. But I always hoped that I'd get a chance to play with them at least once. And then, like 10 years later, 10 years after they broke up, they decided to get back together and do a concert at the Royal Albert Hall in London. And I got a call from Terry Slater, who was a big friend of Phil's, and he said, the boys are going to do a gig, and they want you on guitar. And I thought, wow, fantastic, you know. And so I was happy to be a part of it, but I certainly wasn't the instigator of it, but I'm really glad that I was able to do it. And, you know, it was a big success, and I thought, well, that's it. But lo and behold, a few months later, I got a call to say that they were going to do an album and they were going to go out on the road and tour again. And I just stopped working with Clapton. I'd been with Eric Clapton for 5 years, and I was looking for another gig, and just fell into this Everly Brothers gig, which lasted 20 years, surprisingly.
Fantastic. I'm looking also at, you know, the stars that you've worked with, for example, the people that... Well, I'd probably best if I now ask you about Hogan's Heroes. Tell me, how did all that come about?
Well, Jerry Hogan and I go back to the mid-60s, you know. I used to see his band play. He had a country band called Jamie, John and Jerry, and at one point, and they were called the Flintlocks, and then they broke up, and I put together a band, Country Fever, and Jerry played with us occasionally. He was working at IBM by this time, so he couldn't do everything with us, but he's a big champion of the steel guitar in the UK, and for many years he had a steel guitar festival in Newbury, and about 20 years ago he called me to be a guest on his festival. You know, mostly it was steel guitar players, you know, but he thought, well, it'd be nice to have Albert there. Everybody wants to hear him play. So, you know, I went over there and rehearsed with the band, and we played for about an hour, and I thought, well, this is great. I'd never really fronted a band before, and, you know, I was always a little nervous, apprehensive about it, you know. I'd always been part of a band and a side man and sung a few songs, but not actually been the front man. Anyway, it all went so well that we decided to keep it going, and it's still going to this day. You know, we've done a number of albums, and we tour every year, and it's been a good thing to do.
And I'm reading that Eric Clapton is on record as saying Albert Lee, in his opinion, is the greatest guitarist in the world. Now, coming from somebody like Eric Clapton, that is fantastic praise, isn't it?
Well, it is. I don't know how much truth is in it, but I don't know where that quote came from. But, I mean, I know Eric has a high regard for my playing, as I do his, you know. But, in fact, you know, I have a biography coming out in a month or so, and Eric Clapton has written the foreword for it. So I guess he must think something of me.
I think
but as far as being the best in the world, you know, that's a very sweeping statement. There can't be a best guitar player in the world because there are so many different styles and you know, so many different kinds of music and different ways of playing it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, when you were talking about your Heads, Hands and Feet band, there was a single that came from the album, and I can't remember the name of it. I remember I used to play it.
Well, we had a number. You know, I think we did Country Boy. No, maybe we didn't do Country Boy as a single because the track would have been too long. We had a single that that kind of bubbled under but never quite made it. It was called Warming Up the Band.
That's it. That's the one.
It got played a lot, but it never did quite break through, unfortunately, you know, but people still remember it.
Oh, I certainly, I used to play that in a place called The Cabin in Birkenhead on the other side of the water from Liverpool, and it used to go down a treat. Now, obviously, you've had lots of accolades and awards, and your career is just, I would imagine now, that anybody who plays a guitar and hasn't heard of your work will be amazed that they've maybe missed a genius. And if you don't mind me saying that, by the way, I'd like to ask you about this current tour and your current situation where you've had a fall, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I'm busier now than I've ever been. You know, I'm working with Bill Wyman quite a bit, and my band, Hogan's Heroes, is always on the road somewhere. So, you know, I spend a lot of time traveling, you know, you know, a lot of time away from home, which I don't enjoy, you know, but I, you know, I love to be out there playing. I did a tour with Bill earlier this year in the UK, and then immediately the next day, after we finished, I went out on the road with my band. And we've been out for about 4 weeks, or 3 or 4 weeks or so. And we were in Paris, and I was just walking down the street, middle of the day, and not really paying attention. I stepped off a curb and didn't really notice how high it was, and went kind of stumbled forward and couldn't save myself, and ended up cracking my arm. So, we had to cancel the tour there and then. So it's been a month now, and I'm just starting to get to where, you know, I can... I think I can play the guitar again, but it's still a bit of a struggle, you know. But I'm aiming to be back in the UK by the end of May. You know, I'm hoping that I'm going to continue to mend. You know, I'm almost there, you know. But I think I'm going to have a bit of pain now for a month or two.
Yes, it's horrible when you have a fall like that, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, I've been lucky, really. I've never broken a bone in my 64 years, you know, so this is the first time, you know.
Well, look, I'll keep playing your music. I've really, really got into the album, and I tell you, I'm looking forward to anything that comes my way now with your name on it.
Oh, all right. Yeah, well, the tracks you were playing were from my first Sugar Hill album, and I have another album that followed that called Roadrunner. And we have a new Hogan's Heroes album that's going to be available from... Well, we'll be selling it at the gigs, but it'll be available officially in July, and that's called Like This. And we're very proud of it. Elio Pace, our piano player, has done a wonderful job in producing it, so... We're very happy with it, you know. So
I look forward to that. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
You know, I'll try and get our lady that works for us to send you some material, you know.
That's brilliant, and I'll be looking around to see who else I can find your credits on. What I do now is I'm going to make a page on my podcast site, and we'll put what we've been talking about today on a podcast on that particular page, and then I'll link that up as a tribute to your work.
That's great. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, and we'll go out with this track, and as I say, we'll be playing the music. I've really enjoyed it, really got onto it, and thank you so much for all your hard work.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. I'm glad you enjoy it. Thank
Albert,
you so
thank
much.
You very much indeed.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Albert Lee, of course.